Section 2. The War in the East.
If you were there. You live in Washington, D.C. in July 1861. You and your friends are on your way to Manassas, near Washington, to watch the battle there. Everyone expects a quick Union victory. Your wagon is loaded with food for a picnic, and people are in a holiday mood. You see some members of Congress riding toward Manassas, too. Maybe this battle will end the war. Why would you want to watch this battle?
Building background. The shots fired at Fort Sumter made the war a reality. Neither the North nor the South was really prepared. Each side had some advantages. More industry and railroads in the North, a military tradition in the South. The war in the East centered in the region around the two capitals, Washington, D.C. and Richmond, Virginia. War in Virginia. The troops that met in the first major battle of the Civil War found that it was no picnic. In July 1861, Lincoln ordered General Irvin McDowell to lead his 35,000-man army from the Union capital, Washington, to the Confederate capital, Richmond. The soldiers were barely trained. McDowell complained that they stopped every moment to pick blackberries or get water. They would not keep in the ranks. The first day's march covered only 5 miles. Bull Run, Manassas. McDowell's army was headed to Manassas, Virginia, an important railroad junction. If McDowell could seize Manassas, he would control the best route to the Confederate capital. Some 22,000 Confederate troops under the command of General Pierre G.T. Beauregard were waiting for McDowell and his troops along a creek called Bull Run. For 2 days, Union troops tried to find a way around the Confederates. During that time, Beauregard requested assistance, and General Joseph E. Johnston headed toward Manassas with another 10,000 Confederate troops. By July 21, 1861, they had all arrived. That morning, Union troops managed to cross the creek and drive back the left side of the Confederate line. Yet one unit held firmly in place. "There is Jackson standing like a stone wall," cried one Southern officer. "Rally behind the Virginians." At that moment, General Thomas Stonewall Jackson earned his famous nickname. A steady stream of Virginia volunteers arrived to counter the attack. The Confederates surged forward, letting out their terrifying rebel yell. One eyewitness described the awful scene. "There is smoke, dust, wild talking, shouting, hissings, howlings, explosions. It is a new, strange, unanticipated experience to the soldiers of both armies. Far different from what they thought it would be." Charles Coffin, quoted in Voices of the Civil War by Richard Wheeler. The battle raged through the day, with rebel soldiers still arriving. Finally, the weary Union troops gave out. They tried to make an orderly retreat back across the creek, but the roads were clogged with the fancy carriages of panicked spectators. The Union army scattered in the chaos. The Confederates lacked the strength to push north and capture Washington, D.C. But clearly, the rebels had won the day. The first battle of Bull Run was the first major battle of the Civil War and the Confederates' victory. The battle is also known as the First Battle of Manassas. It shattered the North's hopes of winning the war quickly. More battles in Virginia. The shock at Bull Run persuaded Lincoln of the need for a better trained army. He put his hopes in General George B. McClellan. The general assembled a highly disciplined force of 100,000 soldiers called the Army of the Potomac. The careful McClellan spent months training. However, because he overestimated the size of the Confederate army, McClellan hesitated to attack. Lincoln grew impatient. Finally, in the spring of 1862, McClellan launched an effort to capture Richmond called the Peninsular Campaign. Instead of marching south for a direct assault, McClellan slowly brought his force through the peninsula between the James and York Rivers. More time slipped away. The South feared that McClellan would receive reinforcements from Washington. To prevent this, Stonewall Jackson launched an attack toward Washington. Although the attack was pushed back, it prevented the Union from sending reinforcements to McClellan. In June 1862, with McClellan's force poised outside Richmond, the Confederate Army in Virginia came under the command of General Robert E. Lee. A graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, Lee had served in the Mexican War and had led Federal troops at Harper's Ferry. Lee was willing to take risks and make unpredictable moves to throw Union forces off balance. During the summer of 1862, Lee strengthened his positions. On June 26, he attacked, launching a series of clashes known as the 7 Days Battles that forced the Union Army to retreat from near Richmond. Confederate General D.H. Hill described one failed attack. "It was not war. It was murder," he said. Lee saved Richmond and forced McClellan to retreat. A frustrated Lincoln ordered General John Pope to march directly on Richmond from Washington. Pope told his soldiers, "Let us look before us and not behind. Success and glory are in the advance." Jackson wanted to defeat Pope's army before it could join up with McClellan's larger Army of the Potomac. Jackson's troops met Pope's Union forces on the battlefield in August 1862. The 3-day battle became known as the Second Battle of Bull Run, or the Second Battle of Manassas. The first day's fighting was savage. Captain George Fairfield of the 7th Wisconsin Regiment later recalled, "What a slaughter! No one appeared to know the object of the fight, and there we stood for 1 hour, the men falling all around." The fighting ended in a stalemate. On the second day, Pope found Jackson's troops along an unfinished railroad grade. Pope hurled his men against the Confederates, but the attacks were pushed back with heavy casualties on both sides. On the third day, the Confederates crushed the Union Army's assault and forced it to retreat in defeat. The Confederates had won a major victory, and General Robert E. Lee decided it was time to take the war to the North. Battle of Antietam. Confederate leaders hoped to follow up Lee's successes in Virginia with a major victory on Northern soil. On September 4, 1862, some 40,000 Confederate soldiers began crossing into Maryland. General Robert E. Lee decided to divide his army. He sent about half of his troops, under the command of Stonewall Jackson, to Harper's Ferry. There, they defeated a Union force and captured the town. Meanwhile, Lee arrived in the town of Frederick and issued a proclamation to the people of Maryland, urging them to join the Confederates. However, his words would not be enough to convince Marylanders to abandon the Union. Union soldiers, however, found a copy of Lee's battle plan, which had been left at an abandoned Confederate camp. General McClellan learned that Lee had divided his army in order to attack Harper's Ferry. However, McClellan hesitated to attack. As a result, the Confederates had time to reunite. The two armies met along Antietam Creek in Maryland on September 17, 1862. The battle lasted for hours. By the end of the day, the Union had suffered more than 12,000 casualties. The Confederates endured more than 13,000 casualties. Union officer A.H. Nickerson later recalled, "It seemed that everybody near me was killed." The Battle of Antietam, also known as the Battle of Sharpsburg, was the bloodiest single-day battle of the Civil War and of U.S. history. More soldiers were killed and wounded at the Battle of Antietam than the deaths of all Americans in the American Revolution, War of 1812 and Mexican-American War combined. During the battle, McClellan kept four divisions of soldiers in reserve and refused to use them to attack Lee's devastated army. McClellan was convinced that Lee was massing reserves for a counterattack. Those reserves did not exist. Despite this blunder, Antietam was an important victory. Lee's northward advance had been stopped. Breaking the Union's blockade. While the two armies fought for control of the land, the Union Navy controlled the sea. The North had most of the U.S. Navy's small fleet, and many experienced naval officers had remained loyal to the Union. The North also had enough industry to build more ships. The Confederacy turned to British companies for new ships. The Union's naval strategy. The Union Navy quickly mobilized to set up a blockade of southern ports. The blockade largely prevented the South from selling or receiving goods, and it seriously damaged the southern economy. The blockade was hard to maintain because the Union Navy had to patrol thousands of miles of coastline from Virginia to Texas. The South used small, fast ships to outrun the larger Union warships. Most of these blockade runners traveled to the Bahamas or Nassau to buy supplies for the Confederacy. These ships, however, could not make up for the South's loss of trade. The Union blockade reduced the number of ships entering southern ports from 6,000 to 800 per year. Clash of the Ironclads. Hoping to take away the Union's advantage at sea, the Confederacy turned to a new type of warship, ironclads, or ships heavily armored with iron. The British government neglected to stop these ships from being delivered, in violation of its pledge of neutrality. The Confederates had captured a Union steamship, the Merrimack, and turned it into an ironclad, renamed the Virginian. One Union soldier described the innovation as a huge, half-submerged crocodile. In early March 1862, the ironclad sailed into Hampton Roads, Virginia, an important waterway guarded by Union ships. Before nightfall, the Virginia easily sank two of the Union's wooden warships, while it received minor damage. The Union Navy had already built its own ironclad, the Monitor, designed by Swedish-born engineer John Ericsson. Ericsson's ship had unusual new features, such as a revolving gun tower. One Confederate soldier called the Monitor a tin can on a shingle. Although small, the Monitor carried powerful guns and had thick plating. When the Virginia returned to Hampton Roads later that month, the Monitor was waiting. After several hours of fighting, neither ship was seriously damaged, but the Monitor forced the Virginia to withdraw. This success saved the Union fleet and continued the blockade. The clash of the ironclads also signaled a revolution in naval warfare. The days of wooden warships powered by wind and sails were drawing to a close. Summary and preview. The early battles of the Civil War were centered in the East. In the next section, you will read about battles in the West. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.